Got it. Here we go. By the way, let's get you on the phone. We got to do this know-it-all quiz, Tom. We need somebody to get on the phone. Good. Jacob has become much tougher with who he lets on. 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476. Get on the phone to get on the air. You can talk to Tom. Say hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, talk to me as well. Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi, Tom. A little lady's going to be here as well, and you get a chance to be part of the Tom and Curly radio show. All right? Hey, speaking of little ladies, that wooden wagon behind you. There she is. I think she's in a better mood. Hello?
Hello!
Management cracked down on the teeny tiny lady yesterday.
Wow!
Well, they gave me an opportunity to talk to her about the vaping.
Uh-huh.
And the Juul and the vape things that she had in the pickle jar. And then finally, she was upstairs in Barnes' office.
Uh-huh.
And then
she was. Yeah. How'd she get up there?
I don't know.
Does her wagon go upstairs?
So she is, she has agreed, right, teeny tiny? She has agreed that she's going to give up the vaping. She's giving away all the Juuls and all the other stuff that she's got.
Fine. Fine. You can have them.
The sound of vape pens. Maybe you ought to give out that number again.
1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5.
You might have given the false impression that he's not that tough.
Oh, Jacob?
Yeah.
The weird thing is, I told you the guy from FedEx or whatever he is. Said, oh, yeah. I don't call because I just assume that there's too many people calling.
No, call in.
Call, yeah.
Now's the time.
It's almost depressing. Come on. Jacob has practiced using the phone, so we call it 1-888-973-5476. Here's the other thing that makes you call. Look, here's the deal. Everybody wins. It's easy. It's fun.
Yeah, you'll feel better about yourself.
Yes, you will. I know every time I finish the show. Okay, despite new laws, which is if you're a landlord that's got yourself signed up with the government to accept Section 8 housing, you have to accept Section 8 housing, but it still seems that landlords may be ignoring the law.
This is really a frustrating story. They finally passed this law. These new rules kicked in September that you are not allowed to not accept Section 8 funding, that if they have it available, you have to allow them the opportunity to rent. And in this particular case, the study that Crosscut did, they ran across at least four landlords who rejected this one particular woman, and two of them did it in print, no less, saying that I don't accept Section 8. You know, I only go with cash and deposit in my bank account. So when this woman, I think she's a mother of three, was trying to land housing, she then sent a screenshot of Washington State's law, and the landlord wrote back, I know about Section 8, but I don't accept.
Now, so this don't article, you, if you have property, Tom, don't you have to sign up saying, I want to be a Section 8 landlord?
No, I don't think so. I think this is now a state law. In Seattle, this has been the law for like 25 years, but it's been now a state law that says you have to accept it. So this is there's no sign up that I'm aware of. If you are offering housing, you have to be able to offer housing to anybody who has the means. And Section 8 means are consistent, are as legitimate as any other means.
Well,
there may be other aspects of them that you can refuse them on, but you can't use Section 8 funding as the reason.
Well, so the federal government does a study as to what the rent should be. They assume, they look at your income, and they say, okay, so 30% of your income is going to be $9,000 or something. And then they say is, okay, so here's what we pay fair market value on the rent, which is normally in the 40 percentile of a certain amount of income. So you can have a neighborhood, and they said, then this is in New York City, we'll give you $1,258 plus your 30%, and that will take care of your rent. Now go find it. So it's like winning the lottery, but not able to sort of turn in that ticket and cash it in. Because then they're like, well, they can't find anything in New York for that.
Yeah.
So then they go further and further and further out. So finally, they're in the poorest and most dangerous neighborhood out in Brooklyn with their Section 8. Section 8 was set up to try to stop what had happened before, which was warehousing the poor. They said, let's have people that are coming up, that have gotten jobs, making something of themselves. Let's support them. But what happens is it still drives everybody back into poverty again, or back back into a neighborhood that was just the same sort of ghetto, quote unquote, that they were in previously before Section 8.
That's fine. But this, in these particular instances, this is not about not having enough money to land places. This is the coverage is being rejected, not because it's insufficient. It's being rejected because it's Section 8. And there's a prejudice. There's always been a prejudice against Section 8. Now, just to remind people about this new law that went into effect, there's federal funding, I think, that allows for, or state funding that allows for, a mitigation fee, which landlords can tip into if they rent to a Section 8 person, and the Section 8 person, you know, bails or trashes the apartment, that it can be fixed up. So there is, it's not only, it's, there is a protection for the individual landlords. What's frustrating about this is this law has gone to effect, and no, there's no enforcement agency. It depends on the person who's getting cheated on to get a lawyer to take it to court, and they can't afford to do that. Now, so this is, it's really an infuriating article in Crosscut. However, to give the other side, they did talk to somebody who represents Sean Martin of the Rental Housing Association. He says, listen, I think we should, you know, be treating these guys, these landlords, with kid gloves right now. That my guess is more of them, despite that one particular instance, more of them are probably unfamiliar and are not aware of the law. Then we just ought to make it more informative to let them know that he thinks the majority of these cases, when they arise, it's coming from a not understanding the law. Because if you've been a landlord for a long time, and if you're a relatively small landlord, and you've had
people
that don't turn over that often, you might not be aware of the fact that you're no longer allowed to do
I'm
that.
I'm surprised.
So I think that's, voluntary compliance.
If you have a property, you have to let Section 8 go in there. So what you're saying is, I will not get a security deposit. I won't be paid right away as soon as the person moves in. I will have to have the federal government come in and inspect the property every single year. This is what happens if you're Section 8. So, and then some guys like it because they know they're all automatically going to get paid every month. But then they also say it's harder to get people out. That may or may not be true. But I'm surprised that you have to, if your rent falls within a certain amount of money, then the person would actually be able to take over your apartment and pay the rent and have the government help you with Section 8.
Well, there are other factors that can be taken into account. But in terms of the funding, that's my understanding. This is a new law. And the Crosscut article talks to Nicole Makri, who was one of the bill's co-sponsors, the way we understand it works.
Got it. Okay. So Jamie Dimon, who is the J.P. Morgan CEO, this guy, I like Jamie Dimon. He was a name that was sort of kicked around a couple of years ago to run for president. He sort of looked at it and said, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, he's very good on his feet. He feels, for a guy who's as high up in the financial world, you know, he talks regular.
Well, he's high up because he does talk regular, and he's a smart guy. And he got a chance to have a freshman Democrat try to ask him some difficult questions regarding a bank teller. Katie Porter, who is a representative from California, is she a freshman?
She is a freshman.
Yeah, she questions J.P. Morgan's CEO Jamie Dimon, describing a financial situation for an Irvine, California woman. She says
she had $2,425 a month. She rents a one-bedroom apartment. She and her daughter sleep together in the same room in Irvine, California. That average one-bedroom apartment is going to be $1,600. She spends $100 on utilities. Take away the $1,700, and she has net $725. She's like me. She drives a 2008 minivan and has gas. $400 for car expenses and gas, net $325. The Department of Agriculture says a low-cost food budget, that is ramen noodles, a low food budget is $400. That leaves her $77 in the red. She has a Cricket cell phone, the cheapest cell phone she can get, for $40. She's in the red $117 a month. She has after-school child care because the bank is open during normal business hours. That's $450 a month. That takes her down to negative $567 per month.
Mm-hmm. So what she's basically trying to get him to say is, how does somebody live on that amount of money?
My question for you, Mr. Dimon, is how should she manage this budget shortfall while she's working full time at your bank?
I don't know that all your numbers are accurate. That number is generally a starter job.
She is a starting employee. She has a 6-year-old child.
Okay,
this is her first job.
And you can get those jobs at a high school.
By the way, Wells Fargo, about 2 years ago, which I think is pretty smart, they dropped the fact that you don't have to have a bachelor's degree to be a bank teller.
Huh.
We're one of the first banks to do that.
She may have my job one day.
So she may, but Mr. Dimon, she doesn't have the ability right now to spend your $31 million.
I'm totally sympathetic.
She's short $567. What would you suggest she do?
I, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Would you recommend that she take out a J.P. Morgan Chase credit card and run a deficit?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Okay. And then
you said that three times.
What I'd like you to do is provide a way for families to make ends meet so that little kids who are 6 years old living in a one-bedroom apartment with their mother aren't going hungry at night because they're $567 short from feeding themselves, clothing them. We allow no money for clothing. We allow no money for school lunches. We allow no money for field trips, no money for medical, no money for prescription drugs, nothing. Yeah. And she's short $567 already. Mr. Diamond, you know how to spend $31 million a year in salary, and you can't figure out how to make up a $567 a month shortfall. This is a budget problem you cannot solve.
Well, the difference is he has the $38 million to spend because he gets paid based on his performance. She doesn't have the money based on either her education or her work skills, so she's got to start her job in there as a bank teller. The thing about what, and I worked as a bank teller, it's a terribly boring job.
I hated it.
To meet people every.
I was such a bad teller that nobody would come to my window. But anyway, that aside, they were constantly at the bank talking about advancement. Do you want to sign up for this? Do you want to sign up for that? They always want to advance people. This whole idea, you bring you in, you have the job. I try to find out how long the average bank teller has that job.
Oh, yeah.
She makes $35,000 something or other a year.
Yeah.
She's a single mom. I don't know if she also gets an additional money from the government. She might possibly also receive something else. But her situation is she's living in Irvine, California. It's a very expensive place. California has some of the highest taxes, and it's one of the poorest states in the United States when you look at how much money goes in and how much money comes out. Why doesn't she move? Jamie Dimon could say, well, she could cut her expenses by moving to some other place. She could work as a teller at Wells Fargo. We would pay her X amount of dollars, and she would have more money left at the end. It's about money coming in and money going out, right?
That's right.
But he doesn't want to say that because he's just better off doing the – I'd have to think about that, right?
Yeah. Now, it turns out that this was a composite. This wasn't a real
woman.
Yeah,
she made the person up.
But she herself, the representative, is I'm a single mom living in Irvine. I know what it takes to make ends meet here. It's her illustration of how difficult it is, even in a booming economy, to make a go of it. I don't know if her suggestion is that she should be that he should be paying tellers more than that. I guess that's
that's what she said. What are you going to do for her?
Impression. The thing is, and he offered to be fair to Jamie Dimon, not that he needs fairness from me, but he did say, "Well, I'd be willing to talk to her and see if there's we could somehow make adjustments." I think that that's the case, but as then her point was, she says, "Yeah, but it's not just like I can help an individual in general. How is someone meant to stay alive?" Under this kind of a garner. Yeah, you'd have to find a different job, not at a Jamie Dimon bank,
right?
Maybe as a bank teller.
Or you would say, does she work on weekends as well? I mean, I'm not trying to be hardcore, but she lays it out there. This woman's life is so horrible.
She has this breakdown. Well, she does have a kid, and if she only sees the kid on the weekends, that could be tough. But these are the kind.
There's a lot of people making sacrifices all the time. But
to ask
the president of J.P. Morgan, hey, what can you do for her?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the idea is that he's a bright guy. He might be able to come up with some kind of,
spend less
suggestion.
I got an idea.
Well,
spend
that's the
less.
Problem. Then she goes down to her credit. She does go down this, this checklist. That's spending less would be hard to do.
How about California tax her less?
Government taxes? Yeah, I don't know. That would have gotten a headline if you'd said that.
Yeah. How about this? The Democratic electorate on Twitter is not actually the Democratic electorate. This was an editor for what newspaper told most of his journalists, hey, listen, guys and gals, don't go to and look at Twitter where Twitter is and the noise that you hear from Twitter. That's not really the real people in America. Those are a lot of people that like to grind axes and shoot tiny cannons at each other.
Well, or they represent a certain swath. People that are on Twitter they tend to be younger. They tend to be better educated. They've got. I mean, there are a lot of things about the Democratic Party that are not represented by Twitter users. And this is just a good corrective. It's also. I was wondering how you would take this because you're always trying to bash the Democrats, and Joe Biden doesn't have a chance because he's a white man.
No. Joe Biden would win. I'm saying Joe Biden
among the Democrats.
I mean, I'm talking far left folks. All of your super duper socialists.
Exactly.
They hate Joe Biden. They don't want him to win.
And he says, so you say he doesn't have a chance.
Not with those people.
He's a white man.
Not
but the
with
thing
those
is, and the point is, and I keep saying, but John, people that are in favor of the Green New Deal are not the only people in the party. And this gives a good presentation of the Democratic Party in general. Mm-hmm. You've got the progressives, and the progressives are even more liberal than the liberals. I mean, they're even farther to the left than the liberals. But the progressives, who are behind things like Medicare for All, make the most noise and get the most headlines mm-hmm. and attract the most attention from the right. But they do not represent. They are outnumbered at least 2-1, according to these studies, in the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party tends to be more moderate in their positions and even a little conservative. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the people that are, looking at election numbers should figure out, why is it that Hillary Clinton, who was not nearly as loved as Bernie Sanders, won out? Well, because she represented
superdelegates.
No, it's not the superdelegates. It's because more people believe in the middle of the road approach mm-hmm. than the activists in the Democratic Party that are behind Bernie Sanders.
But superdelegates also helped.
And they say,
her, right?
Well, the thing is that is irrelevant to the way the Democratic Party has gone. They say, look at the people that have run for on the Democratic side of things tend not to come from that progressive wing.
Where are your moderates that are running for president? Where are they?
Well, right now you've got Biden and you've got Beto O'Rourke.
Biden's not running yet.
Well, okay, but I mean he's considered you've got a Beto O'Rourke who has managed to attract a lot of attention without saying anything outrageous. Pete Buttigieg is seen, despite the fact that he's gay, is seen as he's a Midwesterner that mm-hmm. He's a religious. He comes from Maine. Solid roots, and that's why they think that all this attention that all these other people are getting may not really be what is reflective of the Democratic Party. I thought it was a good corrective for how we cover politics.
Yeah, I don't. When I see stuff come up on Twitter, I assume it's just somebody making noise. But the problem is, if you get 50,000 people all playing
Twitter,
the accordion, as horrible as it is with one person, with 50,000 playing it, it's a noise that can't
like
be ignored.
Symphony.
Yeah, that's right. The definition of a gentleman is a man who knows how to play the accordion but chooses not to. Why Ecuador ended the asylum with the spoiled brat Julian Assange. It cost them $6 million for him to live there.
Yeah, $1 million a year.
Yes, and he lived there, and he would skateboard late at night and tear up the floors. I guess he did that in between smearing his own feces on the walls and then just generally being a pain in the ass for people that were around. He was also inattentive to his cat's litter box.
Okay, so I heard that. You told me that before I had a chance to read it.
I can't say enough good things about that.
To be fair to the feces smearing, he apparently only did that once, and he did that
in a... You only need to do that once for people to have to make an impression.
No, I know.
I remember my daughter did that because she was tiny baby.
Oh,
I mean, I'm like, oh, my Lord. Yeah. You had those days?
But he did this, of course.
Yes.
What baby has smeared? Now, they didn't do it in protest. They thought it was fun, those babies. But, I mean, he did it because he was really mad about something, and so he did that as a kind of act. So this isn't a guy.
Constantly.
I had visions of Howard Hughes, when he was totally. But there are things that he became more and more, irritated with the staff. The staff became more and more irritated with him. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting that the thing I think that finally blew the Ecuadorian cover's justification, mm-hmm. that he apparently... spread information about a purported offshore account controlled by the president's brother, the president of Ecuador. That's it.
Now you're out of here. And the Wall Street Journal also says Ecuador is trying to have better relations, political relations with the United States of America, so they turn this guy over.
Yeah, they said they turned in a little office into his bedroom, and it was a sovereign territory inside a sovereign territory. It was a mess.
I like what the president said yesterday. I don't really have an opinion on this.
Yeah, I love WikiLeaks.
By the way, we got somebody to play the know-it-all quiz. Pulling teeth. Hopefully, guys got some teeth left.
Eventually, yeah, we got one.
Right back. Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Hey, thanks so much to Lake Washington Windows and Doors. How are the doors in that house? You got any doors yet? No, I'm not going to ask you, Tom. You don't have any doors or windows. Ursa, doors and windows okay?
They are perfect.
Good left little room there for Lake Washington Windows and Doors.
Oh, because you don't know that they didn't do my doors and windows, do you?
I don't. That's true.
I got it.
How
are
you doing over there? Ouch. It was unnecessary.
Yeah.
It reduces the status of me as the host when you do that to me. You sort of just take me down a notch.
Yeah, that's my job, Ursula.
What happened to the music? It's so uncomfortable.
I never know if John actually wants me to answer anything because he usually gets me as I'm like leaving.
He never wants you to answer. Just take that as the bottom line.
Hey, did I mention Online Trading Academy text line at 98973?
So.
Thank you, Ursula. Have you been to a power trading workshop recently? Get out of here. All right. This is it. This is going to be the Know-It-All Quiz brought to you by Muckleshoot Bingo. Here's what's going to happen. First of all, Alan, who paid dearly for this experience, he's quote-unquote the winner. He went to an auction for St. Jude's. He's now sitting in with us right now. And then he sits with us. And then he, unfortunately, I guess he was a loser because then he has to sit with Dory. So that's going to be quite the experience for you, my friend. You're a glutton for punishment, Alan. Here's what you're going to do. You are going to judge on a scale of 1 to 10 because you got a good sense of humor. I've known you for years now. You're going to judge a scale of 1 to 10 how funny each one of these are. So we're going to have a winner play along, and then you will be the final guy as to whether or not you find any humor. As an average listener or above average listener to the show. All right? You okay with that, Alan?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. Let's meet Michael now. Michael's our contestant. His name is Michael. Did I mention that? He's 31. And he lives...
What's his name?
Michael. In West Seattle. Michael's a school bus driver. And he's on his spring break.
Oh,
music
yeah.
up, would you? His daughter is also on spring break, and yeah, gave him a full makeover this week. I have experienced that as well from my kid. He's got another kid on the way, by the way. He also likes to read sci-fi books. How was the makeover? Where did it begin, Michael?
Well, it started with some red rouge and some blue eyeshadow and a few curlers in my hair and some glitter nail polish. So.
How old is your makeover artist?
She is 5.
Oh, guys. Yep. That is classic. Did you get a picture?
Yep. I don't know. Okay. I mean, it'll happen again, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Spring break isn't quite over.
That's great. Another kid on the way, huh?
Yeah. It's exciting. You know, September is when they're due, so.
Planned kid?
Planned this one. Okay. So.
All right. Just
first one wasn't, but, you know.
That's all right. Just want to ask, what are you laughing at, Tom?
No, it's Jacob that's the one that's doing the laughing. But
what's wrong with that? You can't ask that.
Intrusive person.
That's not intrusive.
I mean, we just met the guy, you know.
Yeah,
hold on. Well, right. it's a legitimate question.
Yeah, it's a question. Do you have a criminal record, Michael?
He does. He's a bus driver. He can't.
Okay, fine.
All right, good. You all right there, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. When you listen to the show, do you often find yourself going, "Yeah, Tom, way to go"? Or do you find yourself going, "Way to go, Curly. I couldn't agree with you more, man"?
Sorry, John.
Sorry, Michael. It's all right. That's okay. That's all right. I'm with you. I love the fact that you listen to the show, regardless of who you see in the side for it. So that means, Tom, how many questions does Michael have to get right?
4 out of 5.
Do you understand why we do that, Michael?
What? Why?
Why? Well, here's the thing. Tom thinks anybody that agrees with him is smarter. So, therefore, you have a higher bar to clear. If you had said that you agree with me, you only have to do 2 right.
I consider myself a know-it-all, so we'll see how it goes.
Perfect.
By the way, one last thing. What's the worst part about driving a bus?
Probably the narrow streets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
How about
not the kids.
How about when the kids throw up?
Haven't had that happen yet.
Yeah.
You got there's a goop on board. You pour that in the thing. You got that? You got that stuff?
Yeah.
Huh?
It's been a couple times where the kids are, you know, "I really got to go pee. It's an emergency." And, you know, only thing you can do is try to drive to where they're at. So
I see. I got it. And by the way, last question. Are people still driving around your stop sign? I hope not. Are they still doing that?
They are.
Golly. Yeah. People don't understand.
It's frustrating. I'm
telling you.
I give them a honk. You know?
Not enough, Michael. Not enough.
Yep,
John wants you to shoot him.
Something, yeah. Well, just a warning shot over their head. Get yourself a gun. Yeah. All right, everything. There we go, Michael. We got Alan standing by, dare to judge whether or not these are funny. Here's what happens. These are all sounds from stories we covered all week. The first story we started with this sound clip.
After I pulled them out one by one, I discovered that, surprisingly, there were 4 bees. The size of every single bee was around 0.3 to 0.4 centimeters.
Yes, a 29-year-old Taiwanese woman made international news and became the talk of the internet when doctors removed 4 bees from her what? Where were the bees, Tom?
A. In a jar on her nightstand near her bed. It was a surprisingly slow international news week, and this was the best the Taiwanese had. B. In her eye. See, you know where they were. Get your mind out of the gutter and sit up straight. Michael?
I want to say C, but I know the answer is B.
Correct. See, that's a Tom follower. I love it.
And Ellen, how funny was that?
Six.
Number two. How many does Michael have right at this time?
Michael is 1-1, here of course.
Historian Felix Bonnell was livid, well, at least as livid as Felix Bonnell gets, at the Seattle Center.
Nobody there on the campus at Seattle Center made it a priority to actually see that these things were properly preserved the way they should have been. The Seattle Center spokesperson acknowledges that there was some kind of mistake made or some kind of communications problem.
Well, what did they fail to preserve at the Seattle Center, Tom?
A, concrete gargoyles. B, the urinals that both Elvis Presley and 1933 Lieutenant Governor Victor A. Myers and Bobo the Gorilla used while touring the center. C, the artifacts from an exhibit at the EMP that honored obscure Italian-Americans that fashioned harmonicas out of hardened horse droppings.
Ooh. I don't know this one. I'm going to have to go with C.
Really?
Wrong!
No. The answer is A.
Concrete gargoyle.
I mean, the EMP, which is now Mopop or something.
Yeah, Mopop.
It does have some lame-ass exhibits, but nothing quite as bad as that. Alan, score 1-10 on comedy.
4.
Here we go.
Whoa! I saw Alan laughing.
Come on. Here we go, number 3. A soon-to-be president of the United States, Jay Inslee, was on CNN and cracked a pretty darn good joke. Here's the setup for the joke.
Nobody there on...
No, that's not him. That's
it. May turn out a lot more dark things that we don't know about yet. We're not done with this investigation. You know, for instance, they just discovered a black hole. Did you see the picture? The first black hole they ever taken a picture of it?
What was the punchline for the setup of that joke, Tom?
A, they found my promise that I wouldn't raise taxes. B, Donald Trump's tax returns. Or C, climate change.
That's got to be B.
You bet.
It is B. And Jacob, did you be like super duper producer and have him actually do the joke?
We think Donald Trump's tax returns are in there somewhere. So.
Alan, 1-10.
1.
That's right. Well, let me tell you why. No, Alan's just operating on a whole different level here. He's talking about Jay Inslee's joke, not mine.
No.
Here we go, number 4. Why did a story of news service that offers for people that work at... Okay. What? We did a story on a news service that offers people that work at home. It's called FocusMate. Here is a little bit of their commercial.
Whether you're building a business, hustling on the side, or preparing for a big test, you know that working at home can be hard. FocusMate eliminates procrastination by providing you with a live, peer accountability partner anytime...
What does FocusMate provide you with, Tom?
A, a live, authentic, trained Asian tiger mom that stares at you and occasionally threatens to take away something if you slow down or become distracted from your work. B, a stranger on the other end of a camera somewhere in the world that watches you. Or C, a middle manager that stands near you. Managers are normally in their late 50s, slightly overweight, and white with chronic halitosis, and an annoying post-nasal drip that he brings up almost every time he clears mucus from his throat.
Not the halitosis. I'll go with B.
Don't be incorrect. Here we go. Alan?
7.
Right. All right. We've all had middle managers like that. Here we go. This guy goes, sorry about that, said post-nasal. This week, in an interview with CNN, this actor revealed at one point an agent told him he needed to take lessons to change his voice.
Beef stroganoff, beef bourguignon, Irish beef stew, beef brisket.
Who? Whose voice is that, Tom?
A, Sam Elliott. B, Gilbert Gottfried. Or C, Meryl Streep.
Not Gilbert Gottfried.
No. Yeah, good, good. Process of elimination. Really building the tension in the show here, Michael.
A.
It's the same tension that Michael has just before he opens the door at the school bus stop. The kid's like, is he going to open the door? Will he open the door?
Yeah! Congratulations, Michael.
4 out of 5. I knew
there
you could do it, Michael.
All right.
Congratulations. Since Jacob wrote that joke, I don't care whether Alan thinks it's funny or not. All right, here we go. Here's what happens for you, Michael. First of all, I would suggest your daughter put on your makeup for you, and then you head on over to go see Carmen. Seattle.
That's great. Seattle. He liked to dress up at the opera. It would be perfect.
That would be true love. If you, if 5-year-old daughter puts the makeup on you and the two of you go to see Carmen together, that would be a rare experience she would never forget. So here's what happens. The Seattle Opera is going to be having Carmen. It's starting on the 4th of May, and you got 2 tickets coming your way. Plus, also, you get a chance bragging rights to tell everybody you won the know-it-all quiz, okay?
That's right. Congratulations,
there
Michael.
All right. Thanks,
thank
Michael.
I got one quick question for him.
About his third kid? Were they going to have a third?
Do you have a favorite sci-fi writer or book?
I'd say Timothy Zahn. He writes a bunch of Star Wars books.
Is that right?
Okay.
All right.
Go.
Good to know.
Come
thanks,
right back.
Michael.
We're going to rip through this. Care Partners Senior Living, thanks for sponsoring. We're going to play the first 10 seconds of this song.
I'm the mailman.
There we go. Teeny tiny lady, hello.
Hello!
We're going to get to letter of the day, but first time, let's get started.
Sanctuary Cities. Jeff in the 253 says, the safest place to keep illegal immigrants for processing would be South Florida. I heard there's a spot there with beautiful green fields that could hold thousands of tents. The security there is impeccable from what I've heard. They call it Camp Mar-a-Lago.
And 206 says, body of Mr. Chips, we use Lay's potato chips with ridges.
On the reparations issue, 206, I'm a member of the Cherokee Nation. Can I get some reparations?
And Larry in absolutely. West Seattle, why do we start with First Nation tribes, indentured servants, slaves, foreign countries, and confiscate land through invasion, war, or theft? Every person who suffered under corrupt government, even magazine employees who got fired, or movies that Tom recommended that sucked. Where does it end?
Right there. John and Andrew trade lives, 253. Andrew, tell them board hopping is an art form more than a skill. Get your back, brother.
Come on.
Got your back, brother.
And 253, after the strong finish of the week of the past 2 days, I think we can all agree that the takeaway from the big, huge Tom and Curly show is simply more Sam Elliott. On a related, well, little-known note, Nigerians are crazy about Sam Elliott.
Teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar, Jesse in Seattle. The little lady in the pickle jar is so upset, she's been forced to quit vaping that she has smeared cat feces on the inside of her jar.
Disgruntled letter writers should call in the know-it-all quiz, and then the rest of us can complain about how boring he is.
That's good. And Jacob's, and 25, Mr. 253, Jacob's not that hard on people. I told him I was the lunatic that spams the text line, and he laughed gleefully and put me on, and I thought I was unhinged.
253, Trump dominates because he's a clown, and most people are dumbfounded by, and still amazed that we have the baby boy in the Oval Office.
And in Everett, maybe I'm unusual, but since Trump has been president, I stopped watching all news.
Mm.
I was a news junkie. I watched CNN at the time, even on my phone when I couldn't get to a TV. But I'm so embarrassed and usually angered by Trump that I can't watch. I even have to turn off the radio and change the channel if his voice comes on. I just can't stand to hear his voice.
And Marcia in Port Orchard says, Ursula is so right. Men lose weight much faster whenever my brother and his wife and I decide to try to shed a few pounds. Craig will start to report loss. Julie and I both say, shut up.
On Seattle Dogs 360, dog lovers often ignore rules for their dog children. Fred Meyer has a sign posted, service animals only, no pets. I see many small dogs sitting in the shopping cart where I will be placing my food. Ugh, totally gross.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
425, my friend babysits dogs while people are on vacation, and she makes at least $12,000 a month.
A month?
Going through their drawers and stealing their jewelry. I mean, how else? What the hell? How's that happen? Hey, by the way, went so fast, we have extra time.
Yeah,
that's not right. Here we go, letter of the day, teeny tiny.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Comes from Joseph in Bellevue. What a great week of wacky, running off the rails type shenanigans that you two pulled off. It was only tempered with the sadness that your Triple Door show is sold out. And having to suffer through the beratings of some grumpy newcomer who obviously dislikes talented writers. Anyway, thanks for another wonderful week.
That's a shot at Jacob, isn't it? Oh, my. You want to respond to that, Jacob? Are you upset about it?
No, he's mad at the disgruntled writer all week that bothered
him. Who was complaining about not getting in because he's always being bumped by the regulars, and the regular writes back, and he's mad at the disgruntled writer.
Oh, I see. Well, we need a plan B.
I always say if you have a plan A, there's no need for a plan B.
Out of time. Bye-bye.